I appreciate the song that Brad led tonight. I've never noticed that song before. But notice what we sung tonight in that song. I put Jesus first in my life, in all that I say, in all that I do, throughout the world of toil and strife, by day and by night, through trusting His might, I'll put Jesus first in my life. I've written on the board, hopefully you all can see that, that does the Lord come first in your life and mine? That will be the basic issue on Judgment Day. In that day, we're liable to be amazed at how few truly place the cause of Christ at the top of their list. You think we're going to be amazed? You think so? You think, how many of us here tonight feel like that we put Him at the top of our list? You feel like we do that? How many of us really feel that way? That He comes above everything else, that we're always going to do that first and take care of Him first in everything. You know, I remember reading or hearing not long ago about this family, and that's what they would do. They would say, ask Jesus first. Children or parents, before you're going to go somewhere. Kids come to you and says, we want to go so-and-so tonight. Okay, ask Jesus first. See what He says first. Parents are going to go somewhere. Parents are going to watch a movie. Ask Jesus first. What's He saying about this? You think He's going to watch this movie? Sometimes you might say, whoa, I don't know about this. You know what a sister talked to me the other day about? This sister is 33, 32, going to Florida. No, we're not going. See, Daddy says, well, she said, I'm not going down there. And see people dressed like that and be among people dressed like that. I'm not going. So Dad said, well, we're not looking. We're just going to enjoy the sun. Says, no, I'm not going. I'm not going to mingle among people dressed that way. Ask Jesus. Would He go? You think He'd get out there in His bikini? You really believe that? Me and you, neither one don't believe that, do we? Do we? And yet we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Lord, I'm coming home. Do you ever wonder what the Lord thinks of things that we do, how we dress sometimes? The words we say, the company we keep, the books we read, the programs we watch, do we ever think about that very much? Well, you know, it's kind of just like the world and everybody else does it. You think that's going to be a good excuse on Judgment Day? Brethren, see, we got to be ready. We have got to see the damnability of sin. We have. And we got to see the beauty of holiness. Sin will cause you to be lost forever. You will be doomed to a devil's hell. That's right. Forever and ever, you will be doomed. And we got to see what sin does. How it will take us to a place where we can never escape, never get out. That's right. And Satan wants you to go there with him. He's trying to get a load up every day. All the time to take you to a place where He will be there with all His angels forever. Does Christ come first in my life? Well, it's about decisions. Decisions, decisions, decisions. We all make decisions. You made a decision to come here tonight, didn't you? You could have made a decision to stay home, but you made a decision to come here tonight. Why did you come tonight? Well, if I don't come, you know, somebody's going to call and say, where were you? We missed you. We feel like we need to go. It's our meeting this week. Now, we don't go to other meetings. We go to ours. But now, when they have one over in Napoleon or somewhere else, we don't go over there. Oh, is that right? Is that how we are? You think Satan don't love that? You think we can get too much preaching? Do you? I believe we can. But the devil's preaching. And that's the kind of lesson he's preaching. You stay away from over there. If we get too much of that, you ain't got to be there every time the door opens. He tells us, you can wait. There'll be a better time. There'll be another day. You know, this sister that I've mentioned several times up in Tennessee that's, in fact, I guess today she slipped into a coma. And she's suffering from pancreatic cancer. And since that time that she's been sick for these last, well, several months, she told me, she said, Brother Bass, she said, I just thought I was close to God till this came on me. I just thought I was close to God till this happened to me. And now she's been walking for several months through the valley of the shadow of death. Doctor told her back in August of last year, you've got 6 to 9 months. It's been over 9 months now. I just thought I was close to God till this came on me. Friends, we don't know what we're going to go through before our life is over. And we don't know if we'll have 9 months. We may have only seconds before our life ends. Before we face our Lord in judgment. And we must see the urgency of being ready. I want to ask you another question about this. Would your kids say that the Lord is first in your family? Would they say that? Would they? Would they say, yeah, you know, throughout my life when I was being raised up, Mom and Daddy always put God first. Would they say that about you? About me? What would Renee say to you tonight? She's here. When service is over. If you ask her, says, Renee, did your mother and dad always put the Lord first when you was being raised in that home? What would your kids say about you? What kind of decisions are you making? Just kind of hit and miss, come and go? Or is the Lord really first in our life? In the Bible, it has many stories about different people and their decisions. And I think one person's decision that stands out at me is the decision of Esau. We find about this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. We're going to begin reading at verse 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 12. And the writer says there, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now he's saying something here about how our life should be conducted. He says, lift up your hands that are just doing nothing, that hang down, and get up on your knees, get up on your feet, stand up. And he says, also, look ahead of you and make a straight path to where you're going to go. I don't know if you ever hunted in the woods very much, but sometimes I try to go through some thick stuff in the woods. I try to pick me out a path to go through there, the easiest path. And so the writer here is saying, you get up on your feet. You pick up your arms, pick up your hands, and you look ahead of you. And you make the right decision of where you're going. Now he tells you something else, the reason for doing this too. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the lame being people that are weaker, that are younger than you. Because they could be lost, and that's a sad thing to think about, because of the way you're living. Have you ever thought about that? That you might be a stumbling block for somebody else? That they may be looking at your life and they may say, well, you know, mother dresses that way. Daddy dresses that way. Daddy watches that. Daddy goes there. Daddy does that. Daddy reads that. Mother does that. And they're younger. And they're weaker. And they're not as strong as you are, maybe. And they may be turned out of the way. That's what the Hebrew writer is warning us here about. But let it rather be healed, or let them rather be shown the right way as you live your life. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Oh, you ever be bitter about things? You feel like you've kind of been overlooked and you're not treated right as you should be. And down inside you, you've got this bitter feeling. You've got this feeling that people treat you like you're not anybody. Maybe they don't ask your opinion enough. And people get bitter. And he says here, uses the word root of bitterness. Because it grows, it multiplies. It gets large, it grows into things it shouldn't grow into. And thereby, many be defiled. See, friends, you can have in the church here, you can have a brother that's disgruntled, or a sister that's disgruntled, and there's no telling where it can spread to. That's right. And people get discouraged, they get defiled. So you see the importance of the Lord always being first in your life? You can't carry your feelings on your sleeve, okay? You can't go around with your chip on your shoulder looking for trouble, looking for something to get angry about. I heard a brother say today, he said, I don't know when I've been angry. I don't know when I've been angry. He said, well, I'll tell you when I've been angry. We can't let that root of bitterness spring up. It will trouble the church here at Mount Carmel. We cannot do that. We've got to pick up our hands, get on our own feet. We've got to make a path in front of us. And where it's got to be that we're looking for to go on this path in front of us. As the Lord leads us, we follow Him. And then He goes on to say in verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So here's a story of a man named Esau. And for what? He sold his birthright? A morsel of meat. Well, what is a birthright, preacher? What has that got to do with me today? Well, let me say this about it. Today it don't have much to do with us, a birthright. But what it was back then, the oldest child received the birthright. Now, what that amounted to was they would have a double portion of inheritance from their parents, from their family, and also they would be the head of the family. Okay? So it's very important. And you can see today in some families it might amount to millions of dollars to get that. So Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. Now, we look back in Genesis to read about this story. And find out just how this happened. In Genesis chapter 25, it talks about Esau. He was a twin. His brother's name was Jacob. in verse 27 of chapter 25 of Genesis. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was fainter, he was tired. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, now why he said this, I don't know, "Sell me this day thy birthright." For what? For what? This food. Okay, Esau, I'll give you the food I've cooked if you'll let me have the birthright. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die." Was he? Have you ever done anything and you think, well, I just got to do this. I just got to see that. It might be a movie coming through and you've heard a lot about it. You say, well, I just got to go see that. It's really important that I see that. There's a book coming out that I've heard about. I just got to read that book. No, you don't. Oh, we got to take a vacation, preacher. No, you don't. I'm at the point to die. And he said, if I die, you know, what good is this birthright? And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he's swearing to him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. So the Bible here talks about what he did. Made a bad decision. Let me say something else to you. Now, you young people here tonight, some of you are dating and some of you are contemplating marriage maybe. Why are you getting married? Why? Because you want to get away from home? Is that it? You just marry somebody so you can get away from home. Is that it? You want to be out on your own? You better stop looking and listen before you marry. That's right. You may make a bad decision. You may make a good decision. Now, there have been some good decisions made. I know that. What does this person think of the Lord? Well, he tells me now when we get married, he's going to church with me. Let me say this to you. If he won't go now, he won't go then. What does he think of the Lord? What does she think of the Lord? Is the Lord first in her life or his life? See, friends, we make decisions like Esau made decisions. And it's going to be tough to put the Lord first in your life. That's right. Because of the road you've taken. Because of that path before you that you've decided to take. And now you've took it and you said, I do till death do me part. You better stop and think long and hard about it. I'm telling you. It may be a wise decision, but it may not be a wise decision. And just to get married, to get away from home. He has trouble with his mother and daddy. He's going to have trouble with you. Can't get along in school. He's not going to get along with you. There's so many things to think about. And that's just one decision. What about a job that you're going to take? And you take before you think about that job. Can I put the Lord first in my life on this job? Am I selling out for a morsel of meat or for a few more dollars? Where is this going to lead me? Where am I going to be living when I take this job? It's about decisions, isn't it? Remember the Bible? The story of Ruth, back in the old Bible, is such a beautiful story. And in fact, there's been a song written about what she said. But what the story is about, it was this man and his wife and two sons. And they had to go to another country because of the famine. And when they got there in this other country, These boys married women of that country. And they are Moabites, these women were. And one of these women were named Ruth, that was married to this family. The other one was Orphae. And in time, this man died. And in time, the two boys died. And so it was left for these three women. Naomi, the mother-in-law, and her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orphae. And so Naomi heard that they was back in her homeland, that times were better. And so she says, I'm going back to my homeland. And she says in verse 8 of Ruth chapter 1, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Says, going back to your folks, I'm going back to my folks, and you go back, and maybe the Lord will deal with you like you have treated me. You treated me right. You treated my boys right. But I'm fixing to go home. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. She kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. They were crying about their mother-in-law leaving. And so going down there, in verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orphae kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So Orphae was going back to her folks, but Ruth was hanging on to her. See? And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law, Naomi said. Listen to what Ruth said. And Ruth says, don't tell me to leave you. Don't say those words to me. Entreat me not to leave thee, she said, or to return from following after thee. She says, don't tell me to go home back to my people. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going with you. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Friends, that's some powerful words, isn't it? Don't tell me. Your people's going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. I'm going with you, Naomi. You know, friends, if we can just get that in our mind, that whatever it takes, we're going to serve the Lord. And you young people here tonight, there's going to be some tough times in your life. There's going to be some people going to try to pull you away. Pull you, take you astray. It's going to be tough. But you've got to remember what he says in Hebrews. Make a straight path for your feet. Do something with your hands. Get up on your feet. Make that straight path. Because somebody's watching you. Somebody's following you. Don't be like Esau, he reads about in Hebrews. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. You remember the story of Joseph? It's an interesting story because Joseph went through such hardship. Sold by his brothers. Went into Egypt. Can you imagine how he must have felt? But he rises up. He's in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar don't know what's going on in his house except what Joseph takes care of all his business around the house. But Potiphar's wife had an eye for Joseph, and she tried to get him to go to bed with her. You remember what he told her? Now, see, it's decision time for Joseph. Now, before I tell you what he told her, what if Joseph had been going to these R-rated movies? What if Joseph had been going to Panama City and walking around these people that are members of the Church of Christ? That are half, no, not half. That are naked. What if Joseph's been doing that? He said, well, now, you're getting kind of, you know he didn't do that. What if he had? What if he could have? What if he did? What do you think he'd have said to Potiphar's wife? What if he'd been watching her with lustful eyes, how she was dressed? What do you think would happen? Do you think Joseph chose straight path for his feet? Oh, yes, he did, didn't he? He sure did. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You ever thought about that? How can I do it? I'm not this way, woman. I don't live this way. That's not me. I am not going to do this with you. I am not going to do it. And he didn't. He made a good decision, didn't he? And that's a very inspiring story of him, because what he'd been through and then what he got into then. Got in prison because she blamed him anyway. He got thrown in prison. Remember Lot's wife. In Luke 17 and 32, Jesus said those words. Remember Lot's wife. Why did he say that? Well, what about his wife? What did she do? What was her name? I don't know her name. You know her name? I don't know her name. But I know Lot was living in a city where sin was rampant. Oh, yeah. On every hand. God told Abraham, says, Abraham, I'm going to destroy it. Oh, you're going to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? He said, would you save it for 50 righteous people? God said, yeah. Abraham says, Lord, how about 45? God said, okay. For 45 righteous in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, I will save those cities. And he says, what about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10 righteous people? Look up here, please. Could he find 10 righteous people in Randolph County that really put him first in their lives? That's a good question, isn't it? You say, well, now, preacher, I hope he'd find more than 10 righteous people here. Hey, we've got a whole bunch of them here at the church tonight that put him first in their lives. We just sung it. We just sung it. When we said, when we sung it, we mean it. I'll put Jesus first in my life. It's just as bad to sing a lie as it is to tell a lie, isn't it? You just sung that, didn't you? You just sung it. You said it yourself. I guess you sung it. Somebody sung it. I'll put Jesus first in my life. I'm going to get this straight path for my feet. I'm going to pick up my hands, stand up on my feet, so that those that have followed me can see this path that I'm leading, that I'm following the Lord on. 10 righteous. That's all. Well, what happened? He didn't find 10 righteous. You know what? You know what the Bible says also? It uses these words. Lot lingered. Angels told him, get out of here. Get out of town, boy. He went to his sons-in-law and they laughed at him as one that mocked. They wasn't leaving. They was not leaving. The angel said, flee to the hills and do not look back. Why would you want to look back? Do we sometimes look back at our life when we're following the Lord? And we think, well, what I could have done, what I could have been, what I could have had, the house I could have lived in, the car I could have driven. But she looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. What was burning up back there? How would you feel? How would you feel if right now you had to leave the place you lived and the Lord tells you to flee and do not look back? And there your house, your furniture, your clothes, your car, everything you left behind is all being destroyed. What does her life speak of to you? Does it not speak of worldliness? You know, that's what it called Esau. A profane person, you know what a profane person is? It's a worldly-minded person. That's what it is. And Lot's wife, to me, was worldly-minded. In fact, Jesus said in Luke, the 9th chapter, about looking back. In Luke 9, beginning of verse 57. And it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, we just kind of sung that song tonight, didn't we? Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Brethren, we cannot look back. We have got to press on. And we have got to see tonight our life can be useful to God. I don't want the doors to close here at Mount Carmel. Do you? I want the church to stay alive and active and growing and serving God. But friends, we got to work at it. We can't take a ho-hum attitude about it. And we've got to raise our children in the right way. Because whether we like it or not, friends, we are leaving this world. I'm telling you, we are leaving this world, and we're leaving it to them if this world stands. They will be the church of tomorrow if this world shall stand. And we've got to see sin and what it is and what it does and where it's leading. People are worried about that today. There are people that are concerned about sin and where we're going. What's on the television, what's on the internet, what's in the movies. And like that sister did, said, what is it, Panama City or wherever people go? Says, what has happened? Is why so much of our young girls today are dressing, wearing clothes that are completely indecent and wearing them in public. And mother wears them too. Do you really think that's putting the Lord first in your life? Do you really think so? You really think that's okay? When the Bible says women adorn themselves in modest apparel? Friends, the Bible is real personal. Make no mistake about it. Someday, we're going to give an account of not only the way we lived, but the way that we helped others to live. That's exactly what he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 12. Make straight path for your feet. Pick up your hands. Get on your feet. So that those that are lame might be turned out of the way. And you don't want them to be lame. You don't want them to be turned out of the way. There are going to be people that's going to be wicked. We know that. That's what he's talking about there. But you don't want them to be turned out of the way. You want them to keep on keeping on serving the Lord. Putting Christ first in their life. But if they say you hadn't put him first, how are you going to encourage them to put it first? Our main problem, it's not unbelief. We don't believe in murder. We don't believe in abortion. We don't believe in cursing. We don't believe in swearing. Our problem is shallowness. We don't study deeply. We don't study regular. We don't concern ourselves enough with other people and their problems. Have you ever wondered what God thinks about our attitude toward his word and our inability to teach it? You ever wonder what he thinks of that? Someday we will answer for it. In John 12, he says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Friends, we got to get serious about this. We got to be sober-minded about this. What kind of example are we setting? What kind of life are we leading? How much study are we doing? We make the choice to reject or obey. We can turn our back on what we know is right. Or we can face up to what is right and follow that. The choice is yours, the choice is mine. And I want to encourage you tonight with everything I got within me. Whatever it is that's wrong in your life, decide tonight and even now to turn your back on it and let it go. It's not worth it. It's just like Sister Patty said. When she got sick with this, she says, I didn't realize how much stronger my faith could be. It wasn't as strong as it should be. And I dare say, if we were faced with something like that, we may say the same thing. And things that we thought were important, all of a sudden, they're not important anymore. Friends, if I had one more day to live, what do you think I would do? What do you think you would do if you had one more day to live? This was your last Sunday. Would say, this is my last Sunday at church. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? And one day it's going to be. Oh, it's going to be one day. It's going to be that way. And we have got to be ready. We've got to be. Does the Lord come first in your life and mine? That will be the basic issue on Judgment Day. In that day, we're liable to be amazed at how few truly place the cause of Christ at the top of their list. Tonight, as we stand and sing an invitational song, if you're not a member of the church, we ask you tonight to come to be baptized. If you are a member and you've gone astray, we ask you to come back and confess your faults. As we stand and as we sing, won't you please come to the front?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood? Nothing else, Brother Richard. You get it.
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight with thankful hearts for all the many blessings that you've showered upon us. We thank you for the opportunity we had tonight to come here and sing songs of praise unto thee, to make our petitions known through prayer, and to hear another portion of thy word. We thank you for Brother Wilbert, for his abilities, and we pray your blessings be upon him as he continues to proclaim your truths. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with us through the remainder of this service and on through future life. Please keep us safe from harm. Help us in those things that are righteous and defeat us in those that are evil. And if we've been found faithful in thee, and we ask for a home in heaven with thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah.